Good morning. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Full service is printed for you in the pamphlet you received when you came in. All the hymns are in the hymnal. This morning we have a guest organist. Renata Peppercorn is going to help us out while John is out. Thank you, Renata, for being here today. Today's also a special day for Linda Ann Whitmire. We will welcome her into this congregation with the Holy Sacrament of Baptism this morning, and we pray for her and her family. Pastor Bombs will be here tonight about 5:30. They have a five-hour drive to come up from down by Modesto where they live. They will come here, and we will meet them, a kind of a meet and greet tonight at 6:30 at the Players Pizza Place, where we will have a fine Lutheran dinner, beer and pizza, and kind of get them, learn them around.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, who will make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate this day on the gospel lesson from Matthew's gospel, the 3rd chapter, the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan, to John, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." In the name of Jesus, amen. At a baptism, one is privileged to witness a most spectacular work of Christ, a modern-day miracle, if you will, an event where God publicly demonstrates reconnection to the Creator, promises a life of forgiveness of sins, and the promise of eternal life with Jesus. For our edification, we will meditate this day on this gift of baptism, finding in the baptism of Jesus the power and life that flows from Christ Jesus to sinners. In his small catechism, Dr. Luther raises the question, just what does baptism do? And then he answers, it works forgiveness of sin. It delivers from death and the devil, and it gives eternal salvation to all who believe in Jesus Christ. With that in mind, we can easily understand the confusion which John the Baptizer expressed when Jesus came to him asking to be baptized. Was Jesus not the Messiah? If he was, then he had no need of baptism, for he was without sin. John was correct when he declared that he himself, the baptizer, was the one who needed a baptism by Jesus. And so John conspires to stop Jesus from being baptized. He says, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. It's no great mystery why John the Baptizer tried to prevent Jesus from being baptized. For John had been standing in that water day and night, well, maybe not during the night, but for a long time, baptizing with a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John had been washing tax collectors, prostitutes, and other notorious sinners who had led scandalous lives and needed redemption. Now comes Jesus, the Holy Son of God. No sin there, no shame, no scandal. So why the baptism? Sometimes even Christians are tempted to question baptism, but it's an innocent baby, we say, not yet committed any sin that we can see, cannot even rationally believe, so why should we baptize? To this question, one may only answer that one must ignore what the Word of God says about sin, that it is both a separation from God, disconnecting one from the Creator, as well as merely doing wrong deeds. Our minds, too, may inquire, how can water, an earthly symbol of cleansing, do such a great thing? Again, such a question arises from ignoring what the Scriptures clearly teach, that it's not the water. Rather, it is the Word and the promise of God that removes sin. Dear baptized, the question remains, why then does the Lord Jesus enter the River Jordan to be baptized by John? The short answer is, he does so in obedience to his Father's will. But there is much more at stake here. Jesus replies to John this way, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Was John attempting to protect the reputation of Jesus? For John, baptism in the River Jordan could do no good for Jesus, only harm, for he had been baptizing sinners. John looks to bar Jesus from baptism because he knows Jesus doesn't need it. He's sinless, and he needs neither repentance nor forgiveness. It won't do him any good. As a matter of fact, if the scribes and Pharisees are there taking notes, they're probably going to enter his name on their list. Now, there are some people we may want to be seen with in this life, and other people that we might walk on the other side of the street so we do not hurt our standing. If Jesus steps into the river to be baptized, he will be identifying himself, John assumes, with all of those dirty sinners who have been doing the same and who will do the same. Here is the eternal judge of those people, and yet he's stepping in the water and getting splashed with all their iniquity, their sin, their dirt. Jesus responds to John, exactly. That's why we're going to do this thing. for it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He doesn't just say to John, oh, let it go, John, but commands John to permit it. He has come to be baptized just like all of those unholy, shameful people that John has baptized. This isn't just a gesture. Jesus says he is baptized to fulfill all righteousness. And now, pray tell, how does his getting baptized with all those sinners fulfill all righteousness? This is how. He's taking their place. He is their substitute. He's not just saying that he's a friend of sinners or on their side. By his baptism, he becomes the sinner. We must be clear. Jesus remains holy. He is the sinless Son of God, God himself. He has come to save us from our sins. He becomes flesh to go to the cross in your place. But he also becomes flesh to go into the water for you. On the cross, you see, God will judge him. The Father will abandon his Son there instead of abandoning you. By his baptism, Jesus declares, here I am, I'm the sinner, judge me. There at the Jordan, the one declares himself ready to take the punishment for the many, for all, for you. To fulfill that plan, that righteousness of God, Jesus steps into the water to be baptized. If he isn't baptized, if he does not go to the cross, all righteousness is not fulfilled. His baptism marks him as the one to be judged on the cross. Yet his Father doesn't forsake him at the Jordan River, quite the contrary. When Jesus is baptized, the heavens are open to him. The Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove and comes to rest on him. And God the Father declares from heaven, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Father has required a sacrifice for sin. The Son identifies himself as that sacrifice for sin. And the Holy Spirit descends on him without measure. At the cross, the Son will be forsaken by the Father as the Father condemns the Son. All of this is happening already when Jesus is baptized. Yet Jesus stays the course in perfect obedience to his Father's will. And when the Father identifies himself as the servant to be judged, the sinner to be judged, God the Father says, you are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased. He is pleased with his beloved Son. Why? Because they are working together in service to you. In love, the triune God sacrifice whatever is necessary for your salvation. Do you see? It is not what you sacrifice to please God, but that God sacrifices himself to save you. The one who conquered death did it for you. He died your death for you. He rose again from death for you. In baptism, he's joined you to his death and his resurrection. Do you see the great gifts God has given you in baptism? Gifts that go beyond this life into eternal life. He's made you his holy child. He's given you a new name because Jesus became the sinner in your place. He promises that he will not forsake you in death because Jesus has joined you to his death and he has risen again. He promises to deliver you from every affliction in his time because he's joined you to his resurrection and given you newness of life. And all along the way, whether it be in this earthly life or through the grave, heaven remains open. Christ keeps giving forgiveness. The Holy Spirit keeps giving and sustaining faith. Baptism is not just an event of the past. It's a present comfort. I guess it's okay to say, I was baptized, but it's far more comforting to say, I am baptized. An ongoing reality. Because you are baptized, you are certain of God's favor and protection, all for the sake of Jesus. Baptism brings all the benefits of the cross to you. That's why Martin Luther kept making the sign of the cross. He tied it back to our baptism that you might remember whose you are. Linda, today, with all the baptized, you know and are certain that Christ became the sinner so that you might be his holy child. You know that he has delivered you from death because he's joined you now to his death and his resurrection. You know that you are joined to the one who defeated Satan and that Jesus Christ descended into hell to tell him that very thing, to let you alone because you belong to him. You know that God is well pleased with you for Jesus' sake because you are forgiven all your sins. At baptism, clothed with Christ, with Jesus and his righteousness, the Father said to you this morning, Linda, you are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased. Even so, he says to all the baptized. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in this Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.